Acts chapter number 11, and I know you're standing, holding your Bible, and juggling maybe several things, but if you could write down a name, I'd like you to join me in praying for this missionary. Just going to give you his name. We prayed for him this morning. In fact, years ago, we prayed for his son, Jonathan, who went through cancer treatments as a child, and the missionary's name is Nathan Goodpastor. Nathan Goodpastor. Maybe somebody in whatever way you're watching could type that name in the feed. If you're on Facebook, could you just type that name in, Nathan Goodpastor? That way people have it. One of you, two of you, three of you, more the merrier. I think you can even write it in on the website feed. And he needs prayer. We all need prayer, but he needs prayer. I can't go into the details, but let's just pray for him and the Goodpastor family. They are missionaries in the Philippines. And I'm not a close friend of his, but we did go to the same Bible college, and I believe he's a bit younger than me, but they have a great need right now. So pray for the Goodpastor family, and especially Brother Nathan. All right. Acts chapter number 11 and verse number 19, and what an exciting passage of Scripture this is, because now we're getting in to a very key city when it comes to the church, and that is the city of Antioch. If you've read your Bible at all, you know that Antioch is key. Antioch, they don't know it yet, but it will be. And it's just amazing to see how God has put the church together. We learn in our Bibles that husbands are to love our wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And that's really what the book of Acts is all about. And then, of course, we have all of the epistles that are written to those churches. And just an exciting journey as we consider today the ministry at Antioch. We're going to read responsively from verse 19 to verse 30. I'll read verse 19, then you join with me on every other verse. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came, and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Heavenly Father, please bless the reading of your word, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide and direct in this time. Lord, I pray again for those people that are watching right now that are not saved. They have a form of godliness, or they think they're everything's fine because they're pretty moral, or they're good. Ultimately, they think they're good, and we all have thought that before. But Lord, I pray that they would recognize, as I'm sure many have already, but I'm sure there's people listening right now or even listening later in the week that have yet to be saved. And I pray that as we see the example here in Antioch of people believing and coming to Christ, that people in Burnaby would come to Christ, and Coquitlam, and Vancouver, and Port Moody, and Surrey, and all over the lower mainland, and mainland, and around the world, even today, that people would come to Christ, not just because of this broadcast, but because of the preaching of the gospel all over the world, that many souls would be saved. And then I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that we would recognize, even in this church at Antioch, how it wasn't just Barnabas. It wasn't just Saul. There were many people involved. And I pray that we would see that anew and afresh. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. We'll let you be seated. The ministry at Antioch. I'd like to say by way of introduction that it is a privilege. It is a great privilege to serve in ministry on the behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a privilege. And by the way, every Christian today, you name the name of Jesus Christ. You've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. You recognize that you were a sinner. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You see in the Bible that it says that sin deserves must be paid for, and the penalty of sin is death and hell. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And we recognize that in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So it passed, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We realize that we're a sinner. We realize from the Bible that sin has a penalty of hell, death, spiritual death, physical death, yes, but even greater than that, spiritual death in hell. But then we see from the second half of Romans 6:23 that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The greatest love gift ever given to anyone, past, present, and future, is the gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. I would encourage you, church family, if you have yet to do this, share the link to the gospel video presentation by Caleb Garraway. It's on our website. It's on our Vimeo page. Post it often. Post it today. It's February 14th. The greatest love story ever told is the story of the Lord Jesus Christ dying, being buried, and rising again the third day. I noticed the other day on our Vimeo page that video has been viewed over 8,000 times. And I don't know what that means. I don't know how many people that represents. I just know this. The more people that we can expose to the gospel, the love story of the gospel, the greater. And so when we come to Christ by faith, because that's how we come to Christ, we come humbly, but we come by faith. It isn't that the day we get saved and then we maybe get baptized after that. Boy, we need to have a baptismal, don't we? And I thank God for a few that were baptized in 2020. And then what happens is we join the church. Why do we join the church? We join the church because it's the place God loves. It's the place God has created for us. He created the home before the church, yes. He created government, but then he created the church. And that's what we've been studying in the book of Acts, the beginning of the church with Christ and his disciples. And then it was empowered at Pentecost. But what we've noticed, and I hope you've noticed it on this journey, is that the church is not just made up of the pastor. The church is not just made up of the staff. The church is not just about one person. The church is a family. And I want to tell you, there's no greater ministry than the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not for the pastor. It's not just for the missionary. It's for every born-again believer. And it's a privilege. I submit to you that serving the Lord is not just a destination, but it is a journey. That's not from me originally. In fact, I don't know who said it. I read it somewhere and I jotted it down, and I have quotes around it, and I'll tell you that. But think about it. It's not a destination. In other words, okay, I'm a pastor now. I'm done. No, it's a journey. Every day we get to get up and breathe God's air. We are in ministry as Christians. Every day divine appointments come our way, and it's a journey, and we see God doing great and mighty things. I would have never imagined doing what we're doing right now in ministry. I would have never imagined doing a live stream. dream only meeting. I would have never imagined trying to have a kids club here in this old place. It doesn't look so old anymore. A little bit of paint, a little bit of elbow grease. I don't know what elbow grease is. Somebody tell me about it sometime. A little bit of whatever and a lot of work. And it's not, I shouldn't say a little. A lot of cutting and building and all that's gone on and dusting and cleaning. And we praise. I would have never imagined this would be the ministry of Anchor Baptist Church in 2021. But it's what God has. And it's not just for a handful. It's for everyone to be a part of it. Because you see, the ministry is not a destination. It is a journey. I can't wait to see what God has in 2021 for the ministry of Anchor Baptist Church. But I can tell you this. I already know it's going to be good. I already know. Is it going to be easy? Probably not. But I know it's going to be good. Because this is the Lord's work. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. May we always have that spirit about us. This is the Lord's doing. So far in Acts chapter 11, we have seen the Apostle Peter tell the Jewish believers how God led him to preach the good news of the gospel to the Gentiles. And we learned they were shocked about it all, weren't they? I mean, how can Gentiles get saved? Are you kidding? And then now we come to this new portion of Scripture. Peter finishes what he has to say in verse 18. And it's almost like, here's what we're going to do in verse 19. Have you ever wanted to teleport back to something? Have you ever wanted to do that? I've kind of wanted to do that. I've kind of wanted to teleport back to some Bible days and just kind of be able to be dropped in. There is no such thing, okay? But you can imagine, all right? But that's what we're doing. What's happening right here in this text is kind of like a little bit of a teleportation back to the persecution of Stephen. You remember when we looked at that and Stephen was stoned to death? There was a man there by the name of Saul. Hold your place here and go back to Acts chapter 8. It's only a page or two back in Acts chapter 8. And verse number 4. Therefore, they that were, what's this say? Scattered abroad. Let's go back to our text. Verse 19 of our text. 11, verse 19. Now they which were, what's the next two words? Scattered abroad. You can write a little note there if you want. Remember, the Bible is not put together chronologically. It's in subject matter. And sometimes even within books of the Bible, it's not necessarily in chronological order. It's sometimes there's like this parenthesis that just happens. It's there. And this is exactly what we have here in our text today. The Bible says here, then they that were scattered abroad. And so what is happening here is we're going back now and we are focusing on the work of the Lord in Antioch. You see, Satan wanted that persecution, no doubt about it, but God used that persecution. Sometimes we have to be careful of who we give credit for, difficulties coming into our life, challenges coming into our life. But, you know, I think the Jerusalem church was a little bit comfortable. Have you ever been comfortable in Christianity? I think we're all guilty of that. I don't know how anybody could be comfortable over the last 12 months because it's changed so many times. Maybe that's what God was doing in the last 12 months in my life. Maybe he was wanting me to get out of the Christian routine. I don't know what God is still doing in my life. I don't know. Maybe you have that same thought. But what we want to do is, what we said last hour, is every day, God guide me today. God show me today. God teach me. God lead me today. Anyway, this goes back to Acts chapter 8 and verse number 4 and this same persecution. What Satan thought was persecution would actually lead to the church expanding. And again, God may have knew it was coming, and so I'm not giving Satan the credit for it. It could be that God instigated it, but Satan wants the church to be destroyed. Satan wants you to be destroyed. Satan wants the truth to be destroyed, but praise God, truth is marching on. Truth will never be destroyed because truth is a person. It is our holy God, and Satan will never overcome him. He is a defeated foe. And by the way, as a Christian with a copy of the Word of God, we too are not defeated. We are victorious. We are on the winning side. And so this persecution comes in, and then the members of the church at Jerusalem, they leave Jerusalem. Good news, though, they leave with the gospel. They leave with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They leave with the truth. The church accepts Peter's testimony that the gospel was also for the Gentiles. And when that happened, now it had already been growing, and it had already been expanding, and some believe that it was over 100,000. I don't remember all the numbers and how they came to that, but it was growing and growing. There, you know, out the Pentecost, and it multiplied, and other thousands and thousands were saved as well. It doesn't really matter the number. It was growing. But now that the Gentiles, the gospel has been opened up to the Gentiles, Christianity even grows even more. Seeds for the ministry of the Gentiles was sown upon the death of Stephen at the end of Acts chapter number 7. So you could basically read Acts 8:4 and then turn over to Acts 11. Are you following me? And this is exactly kind of what's happening now right after that. And so the seeds were planted in the death of Stephen. Antioch. Let's think about Antioch for just a minute. Antioch is about 500 kilometers from Jerusalem. And that would be an amazing camel ride now, wouldn't it? Can you imagine riding 500 miles, 500 kilometers on a camel, on a donkey, or on foot? So quite a distance. In this time, this is the Roman Empire. Antioch was the third largest city of the Roman Empire. Antioch was approximately 600,000 people. 600,000 people. And again, I read so many different population statistics. That's just a guesstimate, okay? No one was there that's alive right now, so we don't really know. But it was a big city. Give you an idea, Burnaby in the 2016 census, Burnaby had 230,000 people. In the 2016 census, Coquitlam had 150,000 people. So that's just to give you an idea. So Antioch would be more population-wise about the size of the Vancouver city limits, which I think is over 600,000 now. But just to give you an idea of the city that we're speaking about, the city of Antioch. The Antioch church that we're referring to would actually end up being what we refer to as the mother church. The mother church. Remember, Christ, the church, is his bride. And so that's just a terminology, meaning that from the Antioch church, there would be many other churches started. We will be looking at that as we go through it in Asia and even in Europe. So that this is a little bit of a way of an introduction about the ministry at Antioch. Let's jump into our text. Number one, we see the scattered saints. The scattered saints. And we've read verse 19, verse 20. Some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they came to Antioch, okay? So some of the ones that were scattered from where? Jerusalem, okay? Remember, everything all started in Jerusalem. Persecution came in Jerusalem. In Acts 8:4, they were scattered abroad. Some of them ended up in Antioch. Some of them made that journey from Jerusalem to Antioch. And remember, as they went, they went with the truth. They were scattered saints. Letter A, we've covered this, but let's go ahead and give it to you. It's in the outline. Letter A, because of persecution. Because of persecution. I just ask you, what is it going to take? What is it going to take in your life and mine for us to go with the gospel? Again, I'm not criticizing the church at Jerusalem. I just know what I read in the Bible. And what I know from the Bible is that until they were scattered, it was only about Jerusalem. Antioch wasn't even considered. And I know this is the beginning of the church, but it's the pattern that we're to follow. What do you mean, Pastor Turner? Hey, Anchor Baptist Church was started June 3rd, 2001, coming up on our 20th anniversary, God willing, this June. And we praise God for it, and we give God all the glory for it. But it's not just about Burnaby. It's not just that we only want to tell Burnaby about Christ. We only want to tell our neighbors. Now, we want to do all of this. We only want to tell a certain group of people about Christ. We only want to stay right here, us four and no more, you know, us five and no more. No, we want the church to grow. We want the influence of the gospel to grow. And so one way that we do that is we go and we preach the gospel. I'm amazed how God is doing certain things, and I was going to get into this later, and I might, but I'm just amazed how God has done certain things within the life and ministry. Years and years ago, we used to go down to the Union Gospel Mission. We used to go down there. We used to go down and not far from Maine and Hastings. And this is in the old facility, by the way. If you've been down there, the city helped them build this multi-million dollar place now. I'm talking about the old building. This is the one we used to go to. We'd go there on once a month, sometimes twice a month. And Miss Dee Dee, God bless her, Miss Dee Dee used to ride down in our van and go down with us, and a friend of hers named Joan. And for years, we would go down there, our family of four only at the time. Sorry, Emma. And then actually Emma came along later and came down with us. That's true. You did. You were in the car seat. That's how long ago that was. And then Joan and Dee Dee, and we would go down there. And eventually that door closed. Along the lines, though, of that ministry, God opened up many years ago through a man who's now with the Lord, Larry Weatherby, opened up a prison ministry. And for over a decade, God allowed many of our men to go. Brother Art Sauer, who's with the Lord, was a part of that ministry, and others that are now in other great churches in the Lower Mainland and so forth. And then God closed the door there. And now, guess what's coming? Reformers Unanimous. I don't know. I was just thinking about that the other day. Union Gospel Mission, prison ministry, now RU. You know what? Some of it all goes together. It's amazing how God does one, and sometimes he shuts doors, and God does another, and maybe shuts another door. But yet here, I'm just saying, Anchor Baptist Church, and we need to pray that this is always the case. I am not lifting up any one man or two men or three men or women. I'm saying we as a church always need to have the focus of the church is getting the gospel to a lost and dying world. We need to have that as the forefront of worship. Worship, yes. Honor God, yes, and all of it. But we need to make sure that we are going with the gospel. And no one is too far gone to be saved by the power of the gospel. They were scattered because of persecution. What's it going to take for you to go with the gospel? I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. You're right. You can't do it. But with Christ in you, you can do it. With the Holy Spirit, you can do it. I don't know what to say. That's good you don't know what to say. Because then the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. They were scattered because of persecution. By the way, the church continues to face different levels of persecution today. Some of our missionaries do not want us to mention their name online. Why? Because persecution. They're being wise about it. This doesn't mean they're not preaching the gospel. These are good men. These are godly men and good women and godly women, servants of the Lord. But there is a level of that even today. Is that going to stop us? I don't know what it's going to come to in Canada, but obviously we've seen in these days that the church is definitely relegated to last in line. Walmart, okay. The mall, okay. And again, if this hair lips you, it'll just have to hair lip you. I'm sorry, because this is the truth. All these places are allowed to meet, and all these places are allowed to be open, but the church is closed in some form, and I'm not comparing this at all to this or any other countries where it's serious level persecution. I'm not comparing it. I'm just saying, what's it going to take? What's it going to take? What's going to get you off track that you'll no longer be a follower and you'll just drop out of church? Is this going to do it? Is 2020 and 2021, and you know what? And I don't say the word fear lightly because I don't fear. I shouldn't fear. But I am concerned that there will be numerous people from Anchor Baptist Church that we'll never see again. Is that going to be you? Are you going to let this last 12 months not do the work that God wants it to do in your life? God has allowed it, folks. That's something we should say, yes, he's allowed it. Now, why? He allowed persecution to come to Jerusalem. I think I know why. Don't you? Hey, by the way, you have the gospel today because of the persecution in Jerusalem. Otherwise, that church would have probably been 1 million, 10 million, and no Gentile would have ever had the gospel. Now, we know that never would have happened, okay? So, scattered saints because of persecution. They were scattered saints, letter B, preaching the word. preaching the word. The Bible says in verse number 19 that they were preaching the word. Now check this out. But unto the Jews only. Now remember, this is a parenthesis that stops now and goes back to Acts 8. Okay? So it's possible that some of these things were happening simultaneously to what we have been reading about with Peter. But the point is this, some of them still were only willing to preach to the Jews. But notice verse 20. Some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the, circle that word or underline that word, Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. So this is the Jew, this is the Gentile. If we can fully explain a church, then something is wrong. This is a quote. In other words, if we only have the methodology and organizational technique, we have departed from what God wanted it to be. Why do I say that? These men were not preaching their word. They were preaching God's word. They were preaching the truth. They were not preaching their ideas. They were preaching the word of God. What did they have? Well, they had some of the Old Testament. Maybe they had all of the Old Testament. I don't really know for sure to tell you that, but I know they had a portion of the Old Testament. They were preaching the word of God. They were preaching what had been given to them from the word of God. They were still, however, as we see here, preaching to the Jews until these men of Cyprus and Cyrene were willing to preach to the uncircumcised pagans. That would be you and me, by the way. The Gentiles. They were willing to preach to them. They were sent out. You have the gift of preaching. And when they preached, notice what it says, people got saved. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Bible preaching always leads to preaching about Jesus Christ. The end of verse 20. Preaching the Lord Jesus. Oh, we always want to make sure that when we're preaching and teaching that we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to His full salvation. We come to His free salvation. And we come to His forever salvation. Aren't you glad for that? Oh, today, if you're saved and you've trusted Jesus Christ and you're struggling with the eternal security, I want you to remember something. Your eternal security has nothing to do with you. Just like your salvation has nothing to do with you. Turn to John 10. Let's take this P.S. Let's go to John 10, even though we're not at the end of the message. Let's go to John 10. I want you to hear it. I want you to read it yourself. You say, I've already read it. Let's read it again. Eternal security has nothing to do with me. I don't keep myself secure. Just like I don't save myself. Look at John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. And I give unto them what kind of life? It's eternal life. And they shall how often perish? Never perish. Never perish. Do we believe God's word? Yes or no? Amen. And so Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. I give to them eternal life. They're never going to perish. Well, I don't feel saved. That's not why you're saved. You're not saved because you feel like it. You're saved because of faith in the word of God. Now, feelings should come, yes. But I'm not saved because I feel it. Look at verse, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's security. Just like I'm saved through Jesus, I'm secure in Jesus. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Love this verse. I and my Father are one. Talk about security. Wow. So number one, we see scattered saints in the ministry at Antioch. And then number two, we see empowered saints. Empowered saints. Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them. Stop right there. That's what we need right now. That's what we need right now. We need the hand of the Lord with us. We need God's hand. What does God's hand represent? Power. Power. I don't have any power in these hands, but when God's hand is behind these hands, and God's hand is behind your hands, and God's voice is behind your voice, and God's Spirit is behind your life, let me tell you something. We have the divine enablement from a holy God to do whatever it is God wants us to do. The sky is the limit when we are in and when we are empowered, by the hand of God. These were men, these were women, that the hand of the Lord was with them. They were not laboring in the power of the flesh. They were laboring in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. They were not teaching to please mankind. They were not preaching to itch someone's ears. They were preaching, "Thus saith the Lord, Jesus Christ crucified, buried, risen again." And they preached and preached and preached, and results came. Why? Because the hand of God was upon them. I don't believe they preached for the results, by the way. I believe they preached because the hand of the Lord was on them, and they could not help but speak the things that they had seen and heard. When's the last time you saw something? Hey, when's the last time you saw something? You say, "What are you talking about?" We should be seeing God do things in our life all the time. That should be a normal occurrence for the believer. And you know the reason why I believe it's not sometimes in my life and maybe in your life is because we're not asking for it. We have not because we ask not. Well, I haven't seen anything in the last 10 months. Well, then your eyes have been closed. You haven't asked for anything. You haven't asked God for His hand to be on you. I haven't had a chance to talk about God and, everybody's wearing a mask and can only see their eyeballs and, da-da-da-da-da and all the rest of it. Have you asked for God to give you a divine appointment? Have you asked for God to give you an opportunity to give the message of the gospel? Oh, there's plenty of people that are willing to listen. There's plenty of people that'll take a gospel track. There's plenty of people that need to know about the love of God. And we must know that God's hand is the only way that we can be enabled to do this. This is the ministry in Antioch. This is the ministry of the first church. The first churches, if you will. The beginning of it. The hand of the Lord was upon them. Jonathan Edwards would read the sermon, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God," in a monotone voice. I don't know that I've ever heard that. I don't know if there are any recordings of it. Maybe there are. If you've never read that sermon, I would do that. Wow. But can you imagine? And again, it's not about style, Pastor Turner and Pastor Nathan and missionaries and Brother Coates. We all do things differently, okay? But can I just be really transparent? Can you imagine if I got up here every Sunday and I just read my sermon monotone? Now, again, I'm not saying that's not the way some people should preach. I'm just saying we're not accustomed to that because it wasn't about Jonathan Edwards. It wasn't about sinners in the hands of an angry God. It's that the power of the hand of Almighty God was on him. It didn't matter if he read it slowly and monotonely, that the Holy Spirit of God came down and it changed people's lives. You know what? That's what I seek. That's what I ask for. Not for me, but for God's glory. Must have the hand of God. This would bring about conviction many times before the sermon was even done. Brother Edwards would read his message. Empowered saints meant, letter A, multitudes saved. Multitudes saved. Verse 21 says, a great number believed. Amen. A great number believed. One is a great number. Five is a great number. 5,000 is a great number. It doesn't matter how many that number represents. It just means this. There were people, when the word of God was preached with the hand of God, that believed, that came to know Christ as Savior. And I want to encourage you today, those of you that are on this online broadcast right now, have you believed? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you met the Master? Do you know that heaven is your eternal home? Just like Paul and Silas of old, we'll get to that story eventually, said to the jailer in Philippi, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved," Acts 16 and 31. And the Bible says that that whole house, the jailer and his whole house, they got saved and they got baptized and they came to know Christ as Savior. Why? Because they believed. You see, the hand of God was on Paul and Silas and brought about conversion. It brought about a multitude being saved. What do we need in 2021? We need the hand of God on us, yes. We need the power of God on us. We need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God, not so that we can clap our hands and pat ourselves on the back and say that we're somebody, so that people have an opportunity to be convicted through the Holy Spirit. Hey, God's not sending angels down to preach the gospel. God's not sending angels to your neighborhood to preach the gospel. My neighborhood. He's sending us with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. This is why I want to encourage some more of you men to come out on Sunday mornings at 8:30. Again, we could pray longer, but it's not about the length. It's not about the number. If it's just a few, that's fine. It doesn't matter. I'm just saying that we need God's hand on us. We need God's power. We need God's leading. And that's where it all begins. It begins on our knees. It begins in humility. It begins as we follow the leading of the Lord. And when that happens, there's going to be results for God's glory. Is it one? Doesn't matter. That we're not counting. I'm just saying there will be fruit. It will come in God's timing, in God's way. So when multitudes got saved, you know what that brought? Letter B. That brought multitudes rejoiced. Look at verse 22. Then the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was at where? Jerusalem. Isn't it amazing? As we've journeyed, this is exciting to go through this again. I've read this umpteen numbers of times. You probably have too. But to go through it a little bit carefully and to realize that this isn't the first time that good news has come back to Jerusalem. Don't you love it when a prayer letter comes through the email and we read that prayer letter and we read about how God saved a soul in Uruguay, and we read about a divine appointment they've had over there many times too, and God saves a soul in Sagada Mountain Province of the Philippines, and how God saves a soul over here in Central America. I believe there was a big friend day today down at the Freidensteins ministry, praying about that. It's probably already done, but Brother Adam, and we saw that work. And then when we get these prayer letters in, and those are the only ones that came to mind just at the moment, but all of you missionaries, if you happen to be listening and you're supported, it's encouraging when we hear that you were able to get 1,000 tracts out, or you were able to see someone saved. And what happens when the Word of God is preached in power is results come in God's timing, but what follows that is rejoicing. What follows, we got to follow the pattern set for us in heaven. When one sinner repents, there's what in heaven? A party. That's right, joy. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents, and news comes back to the church at Jerusalem. Hey, there's something going on in Antioch. Hey, there's revival breaking out in Antioch. Send reinforcements. I mean, we've got something great happening. And that's where Barnabas comes in. We'll talk about that in a moment. I'm just excited, though. When I read this, it reminds me of getting a prayer letter from one of our missionaries. Reminds me of getting a prayer letter recently right here from British Columbia, from the Smith family there in West Kelowna. God's doing something there. Did you catch that the other night? 60 people in a drive-in service? Wow. Praise God. They've got a nice big parking lot there. Some of you have been up there. We've been up there and helped them. They're assembling John and Romans now, going to the Philippines. Then they're going to be working on a Farsi John and Romans. Hello, Persian crowd out there. What a blessing. So when God's hand is on a believer, a local church, results come. What do we do corporately? We rejoice. By the way, I've said it before, we're not in competition. We're co-laborers, reaching Burnaby and beyond for Christ. And when Metro Baptist Church has an amazing day, and when Metro Baptist Church hears somebody getting saved and baptized, they had a baptism out here in the parking lot a month or two ago. It's maybe been longer than that now. This morning. No, it was not this morning. Yeah, break the ice, you know. And so when those things happen, what do we do? Oh, come on. It probably isn't real. No, we rejoice and we get excited for a fellow church, a sister church, again, that is preaching and teaching the Word of God. Lives are being helped and encouraged. It may not be always somebody getting saved. It might be a marriage that's helped. It might be a young person that's encouraged. It might be a someone who's discouraged as an adult or whoever, that they get encouraged by the things of God. Let's rejoice in that. So we see the scattered saints, we see the empowered saints, and then lastly, we see the qualified saints. The qualified saints. Help is on the way, Antioch. Help is on the way. Who did they send? Letter A, Barnabas. What a guy. Barnabas. Man, if we could all, I'm telling you, I know he's a man, but if we could have the qualities of Barnabas, men and women alike, and it'd be great. Look what it says about Barnabas in verse number 23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God. Look at that, look at that. What is it for any church that does anything? It's the grace of God. You should mark that down. When all these missionary reports come in, it's the grace of God. When we're allowed to have a more square footage, it's the grace of God. When God allows us to do anything, it's by the grace of God. It was evident when Barnabas showed up at Antioch. It was evident that it was not the people. It was the grace of God. And I love what the scripture says about it. The next two words, was glad. And here comes Barnabas down from the big church at Jerusalem down to this new thing in Antioch. He could have been picking and looking and crying and trying to figure out. No, he saw the grace of God and it fired him up. He was glad. He was glad. And the Bible says he exhorted them all. What does that mean? He encouraged them all. He didn't go in there right away and say, now you're doing this wrong, this wrong, this wrong, this wrong, and this wrong. He went in there and he saw the grace of God and he said, keep it up. Keep it up. And the Bible says about Barnabas, I love how it describes him. It says that he exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart, notice, that with purpose of heart, they would do what? Cleave unto the Lord. You know what? The Sunday morning Bible lesson and this lesson go right together. I hope you're not missing that. I didn't plan that, by the way. It's not about them. It's Barnabas saying, look, things are going good. People are getting saved. People are getting baptized. People are getting added to the church. Let me encourage you, church. Let me encourage you. Let me challenge you. Cleave to the Lord with all your heart. Don't get self-confident. Cleave to the Lord. Notice what it says about, and God wants us to know a little bit more about Barnabas. For he was a good man. Boy, that's what we need. We just need some people that say, I want to be good. You remember talking to your little children when they were small and say, now, this is good. You need to do this. And then you would look at them and say, now, this is bad. And you don't want to do this. And you kind of talk to them in that. And then they get a little bit older and you don't talk to them that way anymore. But we're still trying to teach them, this is good. Go this way. This is bad. Don't go this way. Why? Because we don't like them and we want to cause pain? No, because we love them. You know what God is telling me and telling you today? Hey, Ben, do good. Especially to the household of faith. I think that's in the Bible, isn't it? I just remembered that verse. I don't remember what reference it is. But do good, especially to those that are of the household of faith. Do good. That's what Barnabas was. He was a man who just sought out doing good. Then notice what it says about him, that he was full of the Holy Ghost and of oh, that's what we need. I'm saying that's what we need about everything. Isn't that something? We need all of it. Barnabas was glad. He was good. He was godly. He was giving. There you go. I had those four G's to give you. Glad, good, godly, giving. If we had a revival in Anchor Baptist Church, that's how it would happen. A bunch of glad Christians, good Christians, godly Christians, and giving Christians. What would God do with a group like that? And I believe we have that already. But let's seek God for more of it. Let's not be self-dependent. Let's cleave unto the Lord. Barnabas, by the way, was full of the Holy Ghost. And because he was full of the Holy Ghost, he was full of faith. Strong in faith. This is Barnabas giving God the glory. Barnabas rejoiced at what God was doing with these Gentile believers. He exhorted them. He encouraged them. In fact, I like the thought that God gave me. He didn't waste any time. According to the way the Bible's written, he gets in there and he gets right at it. It's all about exhorting, encouraging, challenging. He ministered joyfully with kindness and encouragement. Oh, we got to have the spirit of Barnabas, don't we? Isn't it easy to critique? Isn't it easy to critique? It is. And sometimes we need that. I'm not saying we don't need critiquing. But maybe let's try to ask God for a little more Barnabas in us. But then all of a sudden, in the middle of this thing, I find it interesting anyway. Verse 25. Oh, the Bible says, and much people was added unto the Lord. So it just kept right on going. Barnabas came in where they were at. They needed help. But then notice what it says. Then departed. So in the middle of this thing, kind of like Philip, right? Remember, Philip was in the middle of the revival and God took him over there for one guy. In the middle of all of this, Barnabas goes to Tarsus for to seek who? Saul. His name still hadn't been changed yet. Letter B, we're going to go ahead and say Paul, I believe is what I put in the notes. Paul. Verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him where? Unto Antioch. So he goes and gets Paul. In the middle of all of this, God leads him. Remember, he's full of the Holy Ghost. Which means what? He's going to go wherever God tells him to go. Isn't that a challenge? I'm saying that for me. Who would have thought to leave Antioch now? No one. People have been added to the Lord before he came. People have been added to the Lord while he's there. And then all of a sudden, he's leaving to go find Saul, who's a brand new, not a very old Christian, quite frankly. But again, Barnabas is full of the Holy Ghost. He's following exactly what God wants for him. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year, don't lose sight of this, they, what's the next word? Assembled, in case you forgot, themselves with the church and taught much people. And because of that, notice, disciples are called Christians first, Antioch. Now, why go get Saul, who would eventually become Paul? Well, here's a thought. Paul was trained as a Pharisee. Remember? He had quite the upbringing in that way. I believe personally, and we know this even, not just me believe, but we've seen it later on, that Paul would exactly be who the Gentiles would need because of that. The emphasis on teaching here is interesting to me as well, that for one whole year, there was a tag team effort between Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Saul. What were they doing? The Bible says here, They were teaching. They were, what does that mean? They were building them up. They were equipping them. They were preparing them because Paul and Barnabas weren't going to be there forever. And we're going to see that here in a little while, not today, but in a little while. They're going to be sent from this church. They worked together to establish a strong church in Antioch. This is the beginning of what would become a sending of people to work in the ministry of the Lord. This is the ministry of Antioch. And through these two men, God would use them in a great and mighty way to prepare others. And then eventually they would be sent out. Paul would go on numerous missionary journeys. And many churches would be started and would be, we would read about the letters. We'll read about the letters that he would write to them when you read the epistles, like the Corinthian, there's two of them, right? First and Second Corinthians, Galatians, and on it goes. But today what we've done is we've kind of zeroed in on the beginning of the Antioch work and all that was involved there. And I believe there is much for us to apply in 2021. There is much for us to apply. We need to be like Barnabas, fully led by the Lord. We need to be encouraging others. We need to seek to do the will of God. We need to go with the gospel like they were scattered. And on it goes. I hope God will use these verses in your life and my life as we seek to advance this week. This is a new week. We begin the week with the Lord's Day. And we don't know if we have all week. We might. That's up to the Lord. But I know this. I want to take the application of these verses of Scripture, and I want to make it part of me. How does this fit into my life? There's so much in these verses that fits into my life, and you could say the same way. This is thousands of years ago, but guess what? This book's alive. This book's alive today like it's always been alive. It's fresh bread. It's fresh milk. It's fresh meat. That's what it says of itself. The meat of the Word, the milk of the Word. Ministry at Antioch. How about the ministry in Burnaby? What more can we see God do in the ministry at Anchor Baptist Church? How about this? How about the ministry of your family? Your family. The ministry of the Turner family. And I'm not saying to other people. I'm saying within the family. The ministry of the Khan family. The ministry of the Kim family. The ministry of the Raver family. And I'm naming some that I see right now. The ministry. That's where it begins. The ministry begins in the home. And then it spreads to the church. And what does the church do? It just complements the ministry of the home. May God help us to learn from this beginning moment, the beginning moments of Antioch, of how to be